Over the course of last 6 weeks, I have often been asked what my family is like. How and where did my family live in Turkey? And there's, of course, a long answer to all of those questions. But if I want to cut to the chase, I generally ask the person if they've ever seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And if they say yes, I tell them my family sits the same stereotypical characters in that movie. A father who is constantly worried about her daughter's marriage prospects. A mother who's always cooking, always feeding, and guilting you about how much you did not eat and how you don't appreciate her cooking. Food is an integral part of family memories, our childhood, and our social life in the society and community. We gather around feasts. As a good host, we are preoccupied with running out of food and making sure that we prepare more than we need. I think that Ziploc understood clearly our need and compulsion of providing much more than we can eat, and developed a whole industry of storing leftover food after big feasts. Our scripture readings today reflect on the theme of God's feeding his people by extraordinary measures and highlight some important points about what it means to be a community gathered around God in faith. First thing we see in both stories that there's a powerful image of humble stewardship in midst of doubt of the religious. In 2 Kings, a man, an anonymous faithful, brings food from the first fruits of his harvest to Elisha. But he is doubted by Elisha's servant and almost discounted by the following remark. "How can I set this before 100 people? We don't have enough. This won't do." But Elisha acts in faith by sitting the people down and trusting that the Lord will provide more than enough based on this anonymous donor's faithfulness. In the gospel, a large crowd of 5,000 people sit down by the mountain to eat the Passover meal. But there is no bread in the picture. 6 months' salary won't be enough to provide a little for each of these people. Andrew points out the boy to Jesus, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. It is laughably small. But what are they among thousands of people? Isn't this just ridiculous? But another anonymous faithful, who is willing to give all that he has for the benefit of others, makes the feast. What we learn here is that nothing, absolutely nothing, even a small portion of what we can give to God as a thanksgiving is lost in Christ's kingdom, but is used for abundant blessing of others when we act in faith. God multiplies when we give in faith. Secondly, stewardship starts with the fathership, the ownership of the original creator, our Father. The man from Baal Shelah, he gives his best, his first harvest to Elisha, as a sign of giving thanks for the blessing God has given him. It is a sign that all that he has, he knows, that is granted him by God, a source greater than he is, the Lord and Yahweh, who has promised to provide for his people as a sign of faithfulness to them. The significance of this act, of course, is underlined by the definition of his gift as first fruits. So he not only offers God his best, but also the initial product of his labor, trusting that there will be more after this gift so that he can feed and support his family. This thanksgiving, however small the stewardship we show to God, is our response to God's love towards us as his people. Stewardship then becomes not a duty, but an opportunity to respond to our Creator's love. In both of the stories, abundance of God flows from human acts of stewardship and hospitality. They create and sustain our community. God doesn't miraculously create the gifts out of nowhere, although he could, but rather starts by using the hearts of his faithful people and what they're willing to offer. The crowds have something to eat and more left to offer, because a gift of the feast was given and offered to all by others. The abundance of the feast does not exclude but only encourages human responsibility and human participation in the abundance. So stewardship then is trusting that God is able to do more than we can ask or imagine if we are faithful to the bounty he has given to us. Both stories models to us what it means to live Eucharistically, offering ourselves, our souls and bodies, as a reasonable and holy sacrifice unto God, not holding on to a principle of scarcity, a worry of not having enough, but trusting in the abundance of the kingdom. And this comes with the risk of self-sacrifice, to give God what already belongs to him. Luther, in his work, The Freedom of the Christian, connected self-giving directly with love. For Martin Luther, we can act in love only when the love comes as a response to God's love, when our acts are acts of thanksgiving. But if our acts initiate our relationship with God, they are self-serving, crafted not to serve our neighbor, but only to assure our standing with God. But if our giving is grounded in love, they are then recognizing God's giving himself to us in love, so that we too might share in that abundance in return. In a moment, we will witness as a community God's most dramatic, most principal act of self-giving in love in the Eucharist. In this, we will again have the opportunity to offer ourselves, our bounties to him, and be blessed by return. If we start to think about the reality of what is going to happen, it really is quite remarkable. Because God again will provide with the offering his people bring. Everyone will eat, and there will be plenty to share. The ancient promise of Yahweh will continue to be true today at St. Michael and St. George's. So with that in mind, let us remember that moment we leave the nave, we have an opportunity to live out Christ's self-giving in the world by thanking him with our own giving of time, talent, and treasure to flourish this community. And let us pray that that generosity will be primarily motivated this week by God's love, not duty, and our response to his abundance, and our faith in his promises without worrying to have too much or too little. And let us pray that we will be excited to be part of that abundance by our actions as the citizens of God's kingdom, because we already have the ultimate gift, Christ himself. Why not share him? Amen.